What does it mean when the second largest economy in the world gets a downgrade? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Word came overnight that China's credit rating has been reduced by a notch. Moody's Investors Service does this for a living. It judges borrowers on how likely they are to pay back. The lower the rating, the higher the interest rate paid. China goes from AA3 to A1, which doesn't sound terrible, A1. Let's get an explanation from Sean Rhine, Managing Director at the China Market Research Group in Shanghai. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Always good to speak with you, David.
How significant is this downgrade?
It's significant in that it's the first downgrade since 1989 by Moody's for China, but it's actually not that big of a drop, David. Right now, Moody's is saying that China's credit rating is the same level of Japan or Israel, which are all considered fairly stable economies.
All right, but a little bit of a downgrade. Why now? What is happening in the Chinese economy that would warrant this?
There are a couple major problems that are starting to hit China's economy. The first is that China's Rust Belt has seen about 400,000 people lose their jobs in the last year, specifically in the sectors that make cement and steel. So there's too much overcapacity and too much investment going into those sectors, so that's causing a lot of problems. The second, perhaps bigger issue, David, is that China's total debt has grown from 149% of GDP in 2008 to 253% last year. So there's rising concerns about the level of debt, which, as we all know, could cause a financial panic if it continues to grow and people can't pay their money back.
All right. So the rating agencies recognizing this. Sean Rhine of the China Market Research Group. His book is called The End of Copycat China. Sean, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Let's do the live markets here. The FTSE index in London is up 0.2%, but the DAX index in Frankfurt is down 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed at the moment, not moving much anywhere here. The Dow is up just 3 points. The NASDAQ is up 5 points, 0.1%, but the S&P future is down. I have the New York market price of crude oil up in front of me this morning as the oil producers cartel OPEC meets informally in Vienna today. It's up slightly at $51.47 a barrel. The formal OPEC meetings are due tomorrow. They're going to try to decide if production limits will be extended or even if deeper cuts might be made. Now, some airplane reading for President Trump. During a meeting with Trump at the Vatican today, Pope Francis handed the president a gift, a copy of a papal encyclical, a policy paper about the urgent need for action on climate change. The BBC's David Willey covered the visit today.
It's interesting that Pope Francis wrote a long and detailed defense of the need for humanity to deal with climate change and in a scientific way why climate change is actually something that has to be dealt with immediately.
Donald Trump has been ambivalent on the climate change issue and has appointed officials who deny it's an urgent problem. The Trump administration is expected to announce its position on the Paris climate change agreement soon. Now to a story pegged to National Foster Care Month. Every year, about 28,000 people in the U.S. get too old for the foster care system. After they age out, then what? The data show an overwhelming number want to attend college, but most will not. Libby Denkman reports on some of the challenges.
It's finals week at Southwestern Law School in Los Angeles, and Ashley Williams is taking a break from the textbooks on her kitchen table to explain her career choice.
I want to be a lawyer because when I grew up in the foster care system, I didn't have many lawyers to really adequately advvocate for me. I figured I want to help other youth.
Williams says she moved around to 36 foster homes and 26 schools after she entered the system at 10 years old.
Education was just what kept me going. You know, I loved being in school.
Williams is a success story. According to a University of Chicago longitudinal study of foster youth, around 58% graduate from high school by the time they're 19, compared to about 86% of the general population. Amanda Yard is director of support services at the Los Angeles Youth Network, a nonprofit that provides housing and other support services for foster youth. She says bouncing around from placement to placement disrupts a kid's educational progress. Different schools may not recognize previous work. Yard says often students have to retake courses they've already been through.
That's a way of re-traumatizing a young person that's just been literally removed from their home, and now they have to struggle with what their education is going to look like. So we try to bring, you know, break those barriers for them as well.
Since many foster youth will age out of the system at 18, Yard says teenagers have to think about survival skills, like where they're going to live, instead of college applications.
They're just kids who've had unfortunate circumstances and wants to get ahead and be successful adults.
Starting in 2008, the federal government began offering to reimburse states for extending the eligibility age of foster care. About half of U.S. states now allow young people to stay in the system until they're 21. And there are a variety of state and federal programs to help foster youth pay for college. Many states have scholarships or grant programs. Some waive tuition at public universities and vocational training fees. But the numbers show most foster youth aren't equipped to take advantage of this support. Multiple studies indicate under 10% will get a bachelor's degree. Ashley Williams says too often foster youth aren't even aware they can ask for help. She wants kids in the system to think about building a team to help them get ahead.
Take advantage of the money. Take advantage of everything. If something's not going right, put your social worker to work. Everybody that's supposed to be there to protect you, put them to work. Let them do their job.
Williams is 27 now and one step closer to her goals. She just graduated. She's planning to continue to advocate for foster youth as her career progresses. The bar exam is up next. In Los Angeles, I'm Libby Denkman for Marketplace.
And after the bombing of the concert in Manchester, England, Monday night, a homeless man was on British TV describing how he rushed in to comfort victims and helped the wounded pull shrapnel from their skin. In the last day, several online crowdfunding sites have collected the equivalent of $36,000 from donors who hope the money helps 35-year-old Stephen Jones find a place to live. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.